podcast is just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah.
And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. I'm Wesley Sykes, and through the other side of the ether is the hero boy. To my know-it-all, it's Mr. Nicholas J. Esquire, believer for hire.
Oh, man. That friggin' voice on the know-it-all. I don't know. I can't believe you do that to yourself.
Oh, he was amazing. He was a standout performance from this rewatch here.
I mean, definitely a standout performance. There's no question about that. But for what reason? I would say for
complete hilarity.
Okay, that's fair. Okay, all right. I can get behind that. I didn't find it funny, but I can see how someone would find it funny. But God, we've heard that voice many a time. I don't know who it is, but goodness, it killed me.
Well, you're an athlete, you're a jock, so it's only right, it's in your nature, it's in your genetic code to want to just give, you know, a nerd like that a wedgie or a swirly or knock their books out of their hands when they're walking down the hallway. I get it.
Wow, look at that, spinning my fucking words, unbelievable.
I'm just saying, I understand where you're coming from.
Journalism rule 105, don't let facts get in the way of a good story.
No, now more than ever here. This week, if you haven't already guessed from our little bit of an intro here, we're still knee deep into our hashtag holiday season.
Holiday season. So hoop-dee-doo and dickory dock. Don't forget to hang up your sock.
Because we're going to be discussing, I have down here the Christmas train wreck, but maybe that is a little bit of a question in itself. The Polar Express starring Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks and Tom Hanks. but before we get to that, Nick, Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
Won the internet last week with the leaked trailer, which turned into the official trailer for GTA 6. They're going back to Vice City. I'm not a big video game fan, but this is very nostalgic for me. So did you ever play Grand Theft Auto? And if so, what was your favorite game from the series? Which ones did you like?
I did not own it ever. I have dabbled in it over the years.
Was that a parental decision?
Maybe when it first came. Do you remember when the first one came out? I mean, to put you on the spot.
I never played the ones on PlayStation. So the first one I played was GTA 3. I was probably in middle school at that time.
Okay.
And then I got Vice City was the fourth one.
It's been around that long, because if you're in middle school, I'm in elementary school. We're four years apart.
School, yeah.
Holy smokes! I feel like the first was so Vice City would have been when you were in high school or college. You think?
Neither. Maybe middle school. Early high school.
Sorry, yeah. My mistake. Okay, so I remember Vice City coming out. So maybe maybe that's the one. But whatever came out when I was in college and you were just out of college, that's the one that I remember playing like a decent chunk of.
That'd be the San Andreas. So you're out in LA, you're kind of like in Compton. You can work out and get stronger and like all that kind of stuff too, right?
Yeah. I did not do any of that stuff. Every time I played, I just fucked around. Always.
Oh yeah. I would do some of the games, but the actual gameplay and the missions and stuff. But we would always just try to see how many stars we could get. R1, R2, L1, L2, left, down, right, up, left, down, right, up. That whole thing to get unlimited weapons, unlimited ammo. So I had a lot of fun with those games growing up. I think they were great. It is unreal. I don't know if you saw one of these videos on Twitter. They were doing a side-by-side comparison of the Vice City and the GTA 6 maps because it's essentially the same thing. And what it looked like then to what it looks like now, like almost like the same scenes.
Really?
And it's crazy. Whenever our parents, when we would play video games growing up, they would say, "Oh my God, is that the real thing? Like, I thought that was really a football game when you're playing Madden." Like, that's where I'm at right now. I'm like, I can't tell the difference between what is real and then what's not.
Yeah. Some of this shit's crazy. It is, when we were kids too, I mean, there were some pretty major leaps made obviously over our lifetime. It's insane, but where it's at now is just, It's remarkable. And with some of the, I will say there are some, I know we kind of get nostalgic for some of the old stuff, like the bit video games, like Mario mm-hmm. used to be in Link and whatnot. But I feel like there are also times where when you get the really good graphics, like Madden after a while for me, after a certain point in FIFA too, because I played those both a lot in college, when the graphics started getting really, really good, I also felt like the gameplay, at least for me, and I haven't played in quite a while either, from the gameplay kind of deteriorated. Things really slowed down, maybe to a realistic level, but it just felt so weird to me that just it wasn't fluid.
Yeah, once online gaming became a thing, I got left in the dust. I couldn't yeah. compete. I couldn't keep up with anything. So that was always what was tough for me there. What was I going to say? The interesting thing. So this takes place not just in like the Miami area, but apparently throughout the whole state of Florida. And what they did, I saw this was pretty cool. They took real life events from social media or viral news stories or anything like that. That is all very Florida, hashtag Florida man, you know, that mm-hmm. whole thing.
Yep.
And then incorporated them in the game there, which I thought was, again, a very cool element, and just shows like how far they can actually go, not just throwing in a palm tree, you know, here and there and duplicating it, but like actually replicating real life events. And it looks real.
Yeah.
Apparently the jiggle effect is a thing.
It's brilliant what they did. I will say though, it seems like it's led to, I don't know how much is going to actually come from this, but there was one guy who was like, they stole my, it was like, I don't know if it was Clown was in his name, like Florida Clown or something. I don't know. But this guy who has a very like distinct look said that they stole his look for the video game. And he's like trying to make a case that he should have a case against them. I don't know, like if it could actually happen, but I saw that buzz popping up.
I wonder, would that be the first of its kind case? That would be like a landmark case, I would imagine. Like, there yeah. can't be a precedent set for that.
That's a really good point.
Like this stolen from, you know, just a random individual for a video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. It sounds so bizarre that I can't imagine that they'd win it. Like, but at the same time, that like mm-hmm. that would be probably not great going forward. Because
well, you know, you say that too, but then way back in the day, you know, it's like who would ever win a case for saying that McDonald's has to tell me that coffee is hot?
Yeah,
I can burn myself. Or
that's very true.
You can't iron your clothes when you're wearing them because you'll burn it onto your skin.
That's true. Yeah, that's yeah. true. So it's. I'm trying to see. Oh, so he resembles the Joker. That's what it's supposed to be. Because he has like purple hair and he has like I think they're tattooed
in the game or the actual guy.
Both.
Oh.
Okay. In the game, he may have yellow hair, orange hair, but it's like it's a like a wild like color, so not like blonde.
Suddenly, this guy's whole case is just falling apart here. So he is mad that someone is biting his style, which he bit from the Joker.
That's actually a great point. So it looks like the real man.
Copy of a copy of a copy.
He's had different colored hair over the years, like a neon yellow, a green, purple. Well, in the game, he's got purple hair. Got it. Game, he's got purple hair. So yeah, it's odd.
Yeah, that is weird.
Yeah, I'm curious if that actually moves forward, if he gets an attorney. I'm sure there's a Florida attorney who would want to take that on.
I'm sure there's someone out there. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And all this talk about name, image, and likeness usage here. When I was waiting tables, the last restaurant that I worked at, I waited on a guy named Steve Zuzu. So you're familiar with The Life Aquatic? I believe that's a Wes Anderson film with no. Bill Murray in it. He's it's kind of one of the more popular Wes Anderson, or maybe it's Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't know. One of the Andersons. Either way, that's a very popular character in the Bill Murray Anderson world. And I wait. So he hands me the card to pay. And I'm like, your name is Steve Zuzu, like the movie? He goes, yeah. And he said, the director, for whatever reason, they met. And he's like, I really love your name. I would love to use that in a movie. And licensed his name, like sold the rights to his name so it could be used.
It's like Kramer telling the story.
Yeah. That was pretty cool. Little local celebrity, minor celebrity.
That's really cool. That's interesting. I've never heard that story before.
Yeah, well, it's coming from me. So, you know, it's like, who else would you hear it from?
Exactly. Very true.
What do we got brewing in the trending now, Hopper?
Damn, son. Where'd you find this?
Not a whole lot in trending now this week. Also, I didn't really look that hard either. So, you know, deal with it. New rock stars, though, posed this question on Twitter earlier, maybe late last week. With all the leaks and set photos surrounding Deadpool 3, pick three people from any superhero property to cameo in the movie. So who would they be, Nick?
Yeah, so it was Predator that we saw most recently, or is that a Photoshop of Predator?
I think those are all Photoshops, yeah.
Okay, because they have the ability to have Predator in the mix if they want.
I guess that could be crazy. I guess I shouldn't discount it.
Right, because to support that, there's a Predator versus Wolverine comic going on right now, and it's fucking awesome. Like I
remember you mentioned that. Yep,
I thought it would be solid. It's been like exactly what it should be. I shouldn't have questioned it because the Benjamin Percy does a great job with Wolverine. But anyways, if I was to pick three characters, so I'm going to go outside of Marvel just to make it a little more interesting. But I'm not going to be that surprising with my picks. Spawn is obviously one of my favorite comic book characters. Not really superhero, but like still he's in that ballpark.
Sure. Yeah.
Same goes with Constantine, definitely not a superhero, but again, still in that ballpark. So John Constantine, Spawn, and then last, he could be the villain of the whole story, would be Homelander. I would love to see him in Deadpool. I don't know how long he'd put up with Deadpool's back and forth, but I'd love to see him go back and forth for a bit.
I think John Constantine, he would be an interesting kind of conversationalist with Deadpool there. I would like to see what he's got up his sleeve.
Absolutely.
That's good stuff there. I think if I were to stick in the MCU, it would be Ant-Man. I would like to see Ant-Man with Deadpool. I think that would be fun to see. Although, Paul Rudd is funny and he's great, but he's also a little softer. This movie's a little bit edgier.
Yes, this is true.
He's more like palatable for the whole family. Deadpool's like the teenagers with the dad, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. I can still get behind it, but I hear what you're saying.
We'll start there, and let's see, who else would I like there? Maybe it was someone from the X-Men universe. I didn't really think this question out, even though I put it together, so that's poor on my part here. Not doing very well for the trending
now. I have a Marvel guy for you that, if we're just trying to stick in with Marvel, but
sure, yeah.
He's not in the MCU just yet, but will be, Punisher.
Oh, the Punisher would be a good one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, as long as it's John Bernthal. I want John Bernthal in there playing it.
100%. Yes, they've gone toe-to-toe in the comics before, and I would love to see that here. Just especially if they have to team up. No, there would be no patience for Frank Castle whatsoever.
And then give me Kelsey Grammer or Beast. Beast and Deadpool, they got a little bit of a run going there, right?
That could work. That could be pretty funny, actually, yeah.
It's kind of like an odd couple sort of thing.
Yeah, and also Beast has been pretty evil lately in the comics. I wouldn't mind seeing that kind of get messed around with too. If you're going to bring Predator in the mix now too, why not just keep pulling from all of what Benjamin Percy has done over there? But yeah, you have some good options there, Wes.
Okay, so it's not bad for on the fly there. Not bad for on the fly. Speaking on the fly, we got a... Wait, where's the sounder?
Damn, son, where'd you find this?
We got a trailer kind of fresh off the heels of Grand Theft Auto's trailer there for the Marvel Blade video game. And it's not really a trailer. It's more like a teaser sort of thing. This seems more like up your alley here.
Yeah, this really piqued my interest. And I know I said it a while back with the Gotham Knights game because we were going to have Red Hood in the mix. Mm-hmm. But I'm interested because we have this. And then we have the Wolverine game that's supposed to be coming. There's an Iron Man game, and I believe Black Panther is the other one too. But this was a really, really promising start. I feel like if I'm going to pick between those four, it's going to be either Blade or Wolverine, just because I feel like they'll probably be a little bit edgier. Mm-hmm.
I see what you did there.
I appreciate it. I don't know about the mechanics for Iron Man when we get there, because I could see that getting complicated in a way that I don't care for. But this Blade game, what for me the biggest thing, you're absolutely right, we didn't see any gameplay, but the atmosphere and the tone that was set here, loved the song that we had in the mix here. I didn't check out to see the name of that song, but I may want to add that to my mix. And then in general, like, Blade looks awesome. I know it's not, it's that in between stuff. Mm-hmm. I forget the terminology we were using to describe it, but those in between moments. Still, like, I know that's not exactly how things are going to look in the course of the game, but the detail that was there was very well done. I thought it was a very promising introduction to this video game.
So you might know this answer better than I would here. Has Marvel had good success with their video games?
There was that Avengers game that came out a lot.
That bombed, though, right?
Yeah, that bombed. I'll tell you what. So I know the rest of the DSG gave it a look and tried it out, and they all pretty much didn't like it. I pretty much from the jump was like, no, those graphics, like, they're not like bad, but they don't look right. Something didn't make sense to me. And then everybody pretty much seemed to not care much for the game. I haven't heard much about the Midnight Suns game. Like, I don't remember.
Is that out? See, when you mentioned Iron Man as coming out, I thought that game was already out and it was just poorly received. I don't really keep track of video game stuff like that.
Yeah, and neither do I, but there were Iron Man games years ago. So the Midnight Suns game, it looks like that's done pretty well. I don't know Steam, but they have it at a 9 out of 10. Google users got it at 88%. Okay. So it looks like it came out in July. And that had a pretty interesting cast too. Like, you had Wolverine, Blade, Iron Man, Ghost Rider, and there were some other characters. I feel like it was strange in that mix, but either way, you had some cool characters there. Obviously, you know, we got Spider-Man recently, but I believe those are different makers than Blade in the upcoming Wolverine game. But visually, it looks promising. We'll see what the gameplay looks like, but I do think I might take a chance on this one or Wolverine. We'll see.
Yeah, again, I don't really play the video games like that anymore. And I was hoping when I saw this trailer release, I didn't watch it right away, but I thought it would be like, oh, okay, we get some cool gameplay of everything here. So I was a little disappointed that it was just kind of like theatrical type stuff, which kind of leaves me to those questions of, all right, what's the animation going to look like? Is this going to live up to it? Because, you know, the Spider-Man games aren't a Marvel property, right? That's kind of a different studio that does all that.
It's Marvel, but like it's not Marvel Studios that makes those games,
right? Like, right. No, it's like the movies,
right? But these games are the same thing. Like, it's not made by Marvel Studios. They have a deal with whoever.
I don't remember who. Yeah. So this wouldn't necessarily be like the same people who did Avengers.
Correct. I'm fairly certain that is the case, that it is not them. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And I think that's why people are like so open to this coming out, because the reception seemed to be pretty strong from that trailer.
Yeah. And the character's great too. I mean, you mentioned Wolverine earlier, but I think Blade is a great character that you would want to play with. In fact, when I was in, my mini video game phase there with the Contest of Champions, loved Blade. Mm. Blade was like a god tier character to play.
Yeah, that game was pretty friggin' awesome. I had a lot of fun with that. I still have it on my phone. It's been a while though.
It's got to be just chewing up space.
Oh, dude, I have way too many games chewing up space, but I just don't want to get rid of them because sometimes I'm like, oh, you know what? I'll go back and play it. The only fighting game I feel like I go back and play on my phone, I usually try and play like brain teasery kind of games, but when I play a fighting game, it's actually the Power Rangers one that I tend to go back to. Yeah. They got a lot of characters on there.
All right. I like that. Well, what do we got? Why don't you wave bye to Twitter and tell us what's brewing in the comic book minute?
Ah, a superb choice.
All right. So this week, speaking of Marvel stuff and Contest of Champions, Moon Knight issue 30. This is the final issue of Jed McKay's run. We're going to be getting more Moon Knight related stuff in the new year. But people have been very high on Jed McKay's run. Obviously, 30 issues back in the day, people who haven't been, you know, reading comics for a long time, you may look at issue 30 and it's like, okay, whatever. But nowadays, that's a pretty big deal. So it says a lot about how that's been going. I was reading it and I thought it was solid and then just kind of fell off. I think stupid me was just like being a little anti, and people were raving about it being like the greatest Moon Knight stuff ever, which I don't agree with. But I'm going to go back, revisit it, give it a fair shot, because I was like,
you hold the character near and dear too. You hold them in high esteem.
I do. And I just, when people start saying this is the best stuff ever, it's like, well, okay, you sure about that? So it's again, it wasn't bad, but that's honestly, that is when I stopped reading it. And that's a pretty dumb reason for me to stop reading. So I'm going to go back, check that out, give it another chance. From Image, we got Rogue Sun, issue 17, which is a title that we're always raving about on TLDR. And then we got a first issue called Masterpiece, which is from Dark Horse. It's written by Brian Michael Bendis. And basically, this is like the, we have two two high level thieves, kind of like on the Ocean's 11, you know, was it the Silver Fox? Was that the guy?
Yeah, who, yeah, yeah.
So like if there was
Arctic Fox, Silver Fox? Yeah, yeah,
something I know like that. But yeah, yeah. That guy, like say it's like that guy and then he got married. Like those two, like let's say there's two of those characters, they are amazing thieves. Then they have a child who doesn't know that her parents were that. But she's an absolute brain because of how amazing like her parents are at being able to steal shit from people. But now she, like in this first issue, she kind of finds all of that out. We get to know her a little bit, and there's a lot of different stuff at play there. But I was very much impressed after reading the first issue of this. We'll talk about it more on TLDR this week in episode 90, which is the ninth trade. We are sneaking in one last trade at the end of the year. We also just had Kyle Starks on the show, which I've talked about before. Peacemaker tries hard. If you like that show, that was a fun series that he wrote fairly recently, only six issues. So we talked about that and some other stuff. But another thing to listen to if you're looking for stuff to check out this week.
Okay. All right. Now let's shift over to our main topic here. Tommy, are you ready for the main topic?
All right. Now let's go get them.
All right, because we are heading right back into the holidays.
Holiday season.
The holiday season.
So hoop-dee-doo and dickory dock. Don't forget to hang up your sock.
Because we are going to be talking the Polar Express, a 2004 animated movie. Nick, what is the synopsis for this?
On Christmas Eve, a young boy embarks on a magical adventure to the North Pole on the Polar Express while learning about friendship, bravery, and the spirit of Christmas.
Oh, and this was directed by Robert Zemeckis and written by Chris Van Allberg and Robert Zemeckis and William Broyles Jr. And this is starring Tom Hanks, who plays or voices the hero boy, the father, the conductor, the hobo, Scrooge, and Santa Claus. And then we have Leslie Zemeckis, who is Sister Sarah slash the mother. We have Josh Hutcherson as Hero Boy, Eddie Deason and Jimmy Pinchak as the know-it-all. So some of these are doing the voice. Some are doing the motion capture here. We have Nona Gray and Chantel Valdivisio as Hero Girl. Peter Scolari and Hayden McFarlane, who are doing the voiceover and motion caption work for Billy or the Lonely Boy. We have Chris Coppola and Connor Mathis as the Toothless Boy, and Michael Jeter as Smokey.
Okay. And then from the box office and critics reception, 6.6 out of 10 on IMDb, 56-64 split on Rotten Tomatoes, 4.5 out of 10 on Google reviews, with 85% of Google users liking this movie. All in all, brought in $286 million worldwide. That was $23.3 million coming in its opening weekend, and $162.7 million domestically. And this was all made on a $165 million budget. So, from a financial standpoint, this was a success.
I would think so. Yeah, I think this. I mean, it did much better than what I would have thought here. It made more money than, say, like the Marvels. You know,
yeah.
So there's that. The score and tweet length review, I give this a 78, and this wasn't a rewatch for me. This was a first watch. It's not as bad as I expected, and the animation was mostly wonky when it was zoomed in on the phaser. That was when it was at its worst, but it was a solid story with a little bit of spookiness. I don't know if you got a hint of that specifically from the conductor, but there was a little bit of spookiness through there, but just way too much Tom Hanks.
You thought that about the conductor was where the spookiness came from?
Yeah. No? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because, like, you don't really know what's going on. He's picking up kids in the middle of the night. Like, you don't really know what his deal is. So you're kind of viewing it through the eyes of Hero Boy, the main character there. But he's also, like, kind of angry through it all. Like, you're kind of waiting for him to be, like, kind of snap. But it never really happens.
That's more – okay, that's the part that I'm, like, his demeanor is odd. I agree. But we'll talk about that more in a second. I gave this a slightly lower score than you, 70 out of 100. This was a rewatch for me. More heart and a better story than I remember, but I still don't care much for it.
And I am one of those really stuck up, nose in the air types. We're going to tell you that the book was way better than the movie. You got to read the book.
Everybody knows that listens to the show. That's exactly how you are all the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, it's nice. I think it's nice to do it, particularly for a children's book. I feel like there's a real air to it, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, you haven't read this 30-page picture book? You've got to read it.
Kind of remarkable when you think about it, that you can make a full, like, fledged motion picture out of a 30-page picture book.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the Dr. Seuss books are kind of like that too, right? It's that's like, true. How do you do that, right?
That's very true. Yeah, got to add a lot.
Yeah, yeah, you got to not a lot of meat on those bones there. Nope. So speaking of the book, did you read this book as a child, and did you like it?
So I think my teacher read it to us in school. I think that was the normal way that most kids were introduced to it. Maybe,
yeah, I forget how I was introduced to it. That probably sounds right though.
Yeah.
And then you buy it at a Scholastic book fair.
Yeah. I didn't do that because I did not care for a Polar Express. I never was a fan of it. I think I've softened up on it a little bit now, but I just never, as a kid, never liked it. Everybody like loved it. And I was always the only one that was like, okay.
You are Hero Boy.
You need to take a ride
on the Polar Express and get some belief back in you.
Hey, I believe in shit. I just don't believe this.
Just not in this book. Not in the success of this story. But why don't you like it though? I feel like you said this before, and I've asked you why, but I can't recall.
I don't think I've actually explained it on here. In fairness to you, so a couple things. One, I never, if I remember correctly, the book was a first person narration from. Right, but it was like the adult version of the kid, or at least that's how I'm led to remember it from.
I think you're right. Yep.
And I don't think I cared for it much then. It's just something about the way the kid talked. Like again, I was a kid reading it. I was like, this hit me the right way. And then the conductor was my biggest reason. I did not care for the conductor at all. And look, they were definitely, from what I remember, accurate in their portrayal of the conductor in the movie compared to the book. But my problem is, like, I didn't care for him in the book because he felt like a real, like, hard ass in, like, an odd way. But then he was always, like, nice at the end. Like, I get you have to be a stickler and all this stuff because he's trying to be on time and stuff. But it just felt like you're dealing with kids and I just don't know. I didn't get it. It was strange to me.
Yeah, like, is the ticket really that important? You're stopping and picking everyone up, like, individually with purpose.
If your name's on the list, then what the fuck do you need a ticket for? Yeah, exactly. I mean, I get the message at the end of it. Is that it? Is that the only reason you fucking need the ticket, really? Because it seems like it. So, yeah, I never, like, those are my biggest problems. Like, that's just, and that's a me thing. It's not, I never thought the story was, like, poorly. Well, I guess I did say the story was not poorly played, like, the kid's narration. But, I don't know, the plot was fine, I guess, is what I mean.
Okay. Yeah. No, I read this book as a child and I did like the book. This was much like our movie rewatch nowadays. This was in our Christmas book rereading every time. So, you know, How the Grinch Stole Christmas, Twas the Night Before Christmas, Polar Express. These were some of the books that we left around on the coffee tables in the living room or something like that. They were always just kind of out there on display during the Christmas time, so you can just kind of pick it up and flick through it real quick. So yeah, I'm a big fan of it, and yes, I did read it. So yeah, yes and yes,
cover to cover. Look at you.
Absolutely. Do you remember when this movie came out and what were your thoughts or expectations for it at the time?
I absolutely remember this coming out. I did not remember that it was 2004, so I was in sixth grade at the time. My expectations were, I don't want to see this movie. I have zero desire to see this movie. I'm like, why are they making, how are they making this into a movie? It's a 30-page picture book. So I was like, I don't care. But then my parents were like, oh, it's a Christmas movie. You know, so sixth grade, I'm like 12 years old. So it's kind of like, I don't have much say in that. And then my brother's in third grade at the time, cause he's 3 years younger than me. So it's like, I don't know if he wanted to see it or if my parents thought he'd want to see it and they thought I might enjoy it. I don't know. But again, I fully admit, like, I love Christmas movies by and large. I appreciate all of them, like the majority of them. This is one that's like, I just weirdly don't like.
Yeah, I was, I didn't see it when it first came out there, but I do remember this movie and I remember when it was first announced, I was excited for it because I love the book, but I had the same questions that you had. Like, this is a pretty short book. Like, how are they going to make a movie out of this? You know, you got Zemeckis and Hanks attached to it. So that's got the Forrest Gump love, you know, team right there, so that you can kind of all right, we can get some success there. I'm kind of excited about it. And this was also right around the time that Harry Potter either came out or was announced. So that first one that they're redoing the whole book series into movies. So I was like, okay, this seems pretty cool here. I got my favorite childhood book series along with one of my favorite childhood Christmas books coming out. That's kind of exciting. But the trailers and animation threw me off.
Yeah.
When you said you're in sixth grade, I was probably a sophomore, junior in high school at that point in time. So at that point, then it's like, yeah, that's not really cool to go see the Polar Express. I was too busy trying to be cool.
Yeah.
So that didn't really
I probably was not too far off from that too. But the animation, I will say that even at that age, that shit jumped out at me. I was like, what the fuck is this shit?
Mm-hmm. But I remember being excited about it. Again, with the Harry Potter stuff, I was like, okay, so they're bringing like a lot of these childhood books that I loved to life here. So that's exciting to me.
That's where it all began, Wes.
But did you like this movie? Enough about the book. Let's get into the visuals here. Did you like the movie?
It's definitely better than I remembered. And I definitely didn't remember a lot from the movie from when I watched it years and years ago. Because mm-hmm. I swear, I think I only watched it when it was in theaters and then never again. But yeah, I still like don't love it that much. I again, the conductor is what bothers me the most. But there's like you mentioned how there's a lot of heart in this. They're definitely I agree with that. I felt that more this time around. And there was a character who I think in the past I also didn't necessarily care for a whole heck of a lot. But now I was able to attach myself to a character a little bit more in this story. And I really appreciated that.
Yeah, this was more than I expected to. I thought this was going to be a full-on Festivus episode where we just kind of air out all of our grievances here. So I was pleasantly surprised on that front. But I didn't love it. I'm not sure if this breaks into the Christmas rotation for me next year. Of course, everything kind of runs through Vivian now. So it's all kind of dependent on her moving forward there. But
I agree, though, about the Festivus bit. I thought that this was going to be like full-fledged episode like that for us.
No, but we both said it. This movie's got some, you know, feel good. It's got some heart into it. So, I was happy with it, but I didn't love the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Where did this movie go wrong? And why do we start with the animation?
Because it's the number one thing. And honest to God, I mean, so for me, I gave this a 70. I don't care for the story a whole heck of a lot. So like there's definitely a lot of points deducted there, but there has to at least be 10 points that I'm taking off here for the animation on this. And I know it's 04, but I remember as a kid thinking, I feel like this is on the level of some video games. That shouldn't be happening when we're talking about movies. Again, I wasn't this like brilliant kid. It seemed that obvious to me, and that says a lot.
Yes, I agree. This was actually spoofed in, if you may remember, Chip and Dale Rescue Rangers. They make so it's like something about like the forgotten toys or the forgotten characters or something at the Comic-Con, and it's referring to the Uncanny Valley, which is like I'm probably screwing this up. Someone can correct us here, but it's like graphics get so good and then they don't. You can only get them so close to looking lifelike before they start looking like soulless. Which is the Uncanny Valley, which is the animation there. So there was some joke that the Rescue Rangers made in reference to that.
I got to rewatch that. That was fun.
But what was interesting is when I was reading the Wikipedia page for the movie, it was Tom Hanks wanted to do this completely. Like he was the one who got this movie commissioned pretty much. And then he brings on Zemeckis there, obviously. They did another movie together. A Castaway was the other movie that they did together. So,
little ditty.
You know, it's a good you know, working team, good working relationship there. But Hanks wanted to do a live-action movie. And Zemeckis was like, no, there's no way that we would be able to do this to what we want to do without it being like $1 billion. And what it ended up being $166 million or something like that for the animation. So that's why they went to do that. And I think at the time, this was supposed to be kind of cutting edge stuff, maybe too cutting edge because it was
maybe
not fully done yet. So I thought that was kind of interesting. You know, do you think if this was live action, would this be better or does it lose some of like the book feel or the heart of it?
I was going to ask you like where you stand on it too.
Solves the problem of too much Hanks.
Yes, this is very true. I think objectively, it would have done better. But would it have done enough that it would have justified how much that might may have cost? Because I'm assuming it would have been more expensive than what it turned out to be. But I don't know. It was back in the day. Maybe this was so expensive because it was animation. I don't know. You said it would have been $1 billion. So I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. That's just what they said. You know, that's what Zemeckis said. But this is around the time of Lord of the Rings, too, right? Is it 2000, early 2000s?
I think maybe. I'd be curious to see them do that. I wouldn't be stunned if they went and tried to do that. I mean, I feel like it was that beloved of a book that you could still make that attempt and maybe make out okay.
Yeah, I think so. I think maybe you lose some of that, like, enchantedness that kind of comes along with the story. You know, if there's something kind of magical about the animation, even bad animation like this, that makes it feel like, I don't know, like a little bit more of like a kid's story. But
100%, yeah, like the train stuff, I mean, is a big one. But I think too, like, now that we're talking about it, it's interesting where we see all these different like remakes or reboots or whatever you want to call it, or extensions of stories. Sometimes I get it where we get it, like extensions, I kind of get. But when we talk about remakes, like this is, like you said, this is a beloved book. Like objectively, people really like this. And like we're of like, it's a book that I would think now people of our age, you know, as you're having kids and everything, at some point down the line, you'd want to introduce your kids to this book. Mm-hmm. And then they would probably want to see this movie if it was halfway decent. Why wouldn't this be a candidate to be remade versus like Harry Potter again, where they knocked it out of the park?
That's a good point. They know they'll make money off Harry Potter. That's the reason why, right? Yeah, I know. I'm with you though. I think they should do something else with this and make it so this doesn't give us the bad taste in our mouth. You know, take another crack at it.
Yeah.
How about some nice things here? What was the most rewatchable scene to you?
So I actually was stunned by this. I got a little like I welled up a little bit from the When Christmas Comes to Town song. I felt so bad for the little kid who was the the straggler, I guess. For
lack Christmas of never really works out for me.
Yeah, and he his singing there, like it was good. Like him and the little girl, like they were great. That was tough. That was a tough moment for me. Rewatchable is a weird way to put it, but that was definitely the one that, without question, stuck out to me the most.
Yeah, the first one for me was the Hot Cocoa musical scene there with Hank's running and you got to drink it hot and everything like that. I think that's good stuff there. I think that was what kind of got my attention, like kind of really wrote me in and got me away from my phone. You know, I'd kind of be like looking at my phone, looking up, and then that one kind of sucked me in there. The other one is the roller coaster tracks on the ice. I thought that was great, but also leading into that, you have the scene of the ticket that's flying out of Hero Boy's hands. That's the girls that he's trying to get back to, but he loses. And then it goes through the wolves, you know, and then goes down the hill and over the ice and then gets stuck. And it goes on this whole journey and it just ends up coming right back to him. I thought that was a really cool scene. Again, if you do that in live action, I think that's a little bit tougher to do. Obviously, it wouldn't be live action. It would be some sort of CGI. But I think that was one of the better points of the animation there.
Yeah, I do think that the stuff with the hobo was interesting in general. Mm-hmm. And then
kind of spooky.
Yes, that was when you said spooky, that's what I thought you were talking about. That's where I was like kind of like surprised when you brought up like, but yeah, but that's what I was thinking. Mm-hmm. And then the roller coaster on the tracks. I agree. Like this is, there are things there where it's like, if you tried to CGI this, it could look really, really bad. Because like where we just saw it in Mission Impossible, right? We saw all the train stuff with like Hayley Atwell and Tom Cruise.
Mm-hmm.
That's like they did a really good job there, but that's not the same kind of like zany craziness you have in this.
Right. No, absolutely. And even going back to that ticket scene, I remember when they go underneath the train and you see the hobo's face for the first time, it just flashes right across and be like, wait, what the hell is that? That's the hobo? And it's like, oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. That was an interesting one. And then the other one for me too was the, when the star was falling, when like they had the kids in they were in Santa's like bag with all the gifts and everything. Mm-hmm. And then the elves were kind of all flying around. The elves did like, I thought they did a good job there. Again, something that one's probably more doable. In live action than the other stuff, but still that would be kind of challenging, I would think.
The elves are also spooky.
Yeah, they are.
I mean, we talked about the faces and how like things kind of get wonky in the face as you zoom in a little bit more. But they, those elf faces are so like distinctive that they just really catch you. It didn't work for me. What else here? What else? Anything else?
For most rewatchable scene, no, I'm covered.
Okay, I think we got that there. What do you think will age the best from this movie?
What has so far for me was The Lonely Kid, because again, he's someone who I really didn't care a whole heck of a lot about. I think, like, again, where we talk about where I've said before that I don't care for this story in general. I think the story, like, in general is like, this ages well still as a kid's movie. I don't think it's great for like people who
are
adults, but it's still good as a kid's movie.
Yeah, I agree. Here's a question. This is kind of like what aged the best here. Do we think Hero Boy is both the hobo and the conductor, where Tom Hanks is voicing all of those characters, as well as the narrator who is Hero Boy?
Wait a minute. Tom Hanks didn't do the kid's voice. He said that he did the kid growing up as the narrator, right?
Yeah, but that's him,
Yes. Wow. You just went like...
So I'm wondering if this is like a duality of man. Like, that's like him from a past life at like almost like Ghost of Christmas Past type thing as the hobo. If he stopped believing and lost all his belief, he's just a hobo trying to get back and try to reclaim his belief and love of Santa and maybe a little bit of that childhood spark. The other hand is the conductor who still maintains that and brings that belief to other children.
I don't know about the hobo side of it. That makes sense. Like from Hanks being all the voices, that makes sense. From a writing standpoint, I'm not certain. But like when you say that, like the kid and the conductor, I totally see that. That totally makes sense. That's a great call. Actually,
I could see that there. I never really thought about that before. It just kind of washed over me.
The way he talks to the kid versus everybody else,
right?
There's like a level, different level of like discipline and frustration and all that. So it's kind of, yeah, I think it's a really good call. That could be the case.
It's interesting. You know, maybe even the hobo is like an interstellar type of scene where he's trying to reach back and guide his younger self into the right direction to not end up like him.
It would make up for the fact that Tom Hanks' voice sounds so like.
Well, it was funny. I'm watching it with Jules and like, I'm like, hey, is that Tom Hanks' voice? Is that Tom Hanks's voice again? And it's just like every time she's like, I think it is.
Yeah. I want to save that for another category before we get into it. Is there anything else that aged the best for you?
No, I don't think so. Again, there wasn't a whole lot to write home about this. Although think about the North Pole. That's a pretty big city. Yeah, that's a huge area. And I know you see all the elves in the background there as they're leaving. And it's like the whole area fills up, right? Santa leaves to go deliver the presents. But is that, you know, that was a big industrious city. I'm not sure if that aged the best. That might be what aged the worst for me.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if I want like a city-like feel for the North Pole.
Interesting. You're more a fan of like log cabins and everything.
Maybe a log cabin or maybe even like a Northern European style of housing. You know what I mean? That's like kind of an open green field. Like obviously green wouldn't work, but you know, in a snowy field with like picturesque waterfalls and things like that, you know?
So this is hashtag not Wes's North Pole is what you're telling
me. Yeah, it's not what I'm picturing in my mind.
Interesting. Okay. Duly noted.
It feels industrial. It feels like a factory warehouse.
You have drawn a line in the sand.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. What do you think of the North Pole when?
Well, I will say I thought that of all of the graphic stuff that like was done well, like the train stuff was done well. I think that was probably the next thing that was done well. Probably not how I envisioned the North Pole. I mean, probably more like Buddy in Elf, like his North Pole. That's probably my North Pole.
We were just watching that the other day there, getting the narwhal up there, you know?
Nice.
Good luck finding your dad, buddy. what do you think will age the worst from this movie?
So We're of a similar mind in a few of these different things. I mean, it's the animation, and then we've kind of beaten that, you know, horse dead plenty. But then the Tom Hanks thing we started to touch on. So my big thing here is, like, it's not just that, it's like, it's not that it's all just Tom Hanks. Like, that we know it's Tom Hanks. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's one thing, like, what's it? In Invincible, right? We got Jason Mantzoukas, who's voicing mm-hmm. Explode. Okay, like, I know, like, Goo might go and criticize that because Goo cares, like, that's something that's important to him with animated shows and movies. Fine.
And he's also obsessed with Jason Mantzoukas, too. You know, he listens to a podcast that he does all the time, so he knows the voice, you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's like, much like we are, Eric, everyone's familiar with Tom Hanks's voice.
Right. But my point is, like, if you want to be critical of that because he just sounds like himself, that's fine. But to me, or actually, no, Omni-Man is the one. Why am I blanking on? It's the guy who plays J. Jonah Jameson.
Simmons.
J.K. Simmons. Like, whoever you want to be, whoever it is, like, it's somebody that we're familiar with. You want to be critical of that? Fine. To me, it generally doesn't bother me a whole heck of a lot. But in this case, where he's voicing, how many did you list off? Like, five people? Narrator, the conductor, the hobo, Santa Claus, and then Scrooge was kind of confusing. Like, mm-hmm. But it's like, the hobo is the great, actually, no, Santa Claus was the greatest deviation by him. That was probably his bet, like, most, like, different from him voice, but it was still like, this is Tom Hanks again.
You can tell, yeah.
What
the laugh, the ho 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 gave it away. You can just tell it's Hanks, like,
yeah, it's just, what are you doing, man? Like, I did not think that was, that was bothersome for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree, and we're aligned there. But your last note here is, this is where we start to stray.
I hated that know-it-all kid, man. He stunk. My God, he's like such an unbearable little
twerp. Oh, yeah. I see. I thought he was very lovable, albeit I get it, annoying and definitely taxing on your patience to be stuck in a car or, you know, a long ride in a confined space with him over a period of time. That's not high on my list of things I'd want to do.
So no,
but he's funny. He's got a lot of character. No one else really has that much character.
100%. No one else has as much character as him. I agree with you. But I think I just don't find, like, I get how you find him funny. I can see that. I just it did not work for me. And the other thing is too, it's not just like he's a know-it-all. Like, know-it-alls can be kind of like whatever, sure, but he's like a little rat bastard too. Like, he's like, I was just following them. Like, oh, I want to get my gifts too. Oh, you know, like, oh, pick me. It's like, shut up. Like, I'm sure, like, there's like a story to be told, like, why he's like that. But still, it was like, oh my God, this kid just doesn't stop.
My vibe was, he was very clearly autistic. That was, you know, the obsessing with the trains and knowing all the model trains. That was the first sign there. And again, being the know-it-all answers, and then, like, not exactly accepting other people's answers, you know, like, no, I'm right, you're wrong. And then they kind of go forward with this. So that was kind of my thought of it. So I thought he was a high functioning autistic kid.
Okay. That would change a lot for me. Yeah. For sure.
He didn't age so badly now, did he, Nick?
Mm, no, that would change it completely. That's for damn sure.
But yeah, so that was kind of my vibe, which, coming into it, you know, once I figured that out, once that thought entered my mind, I was like, all right, this kid's awesome.
Mm, yeah, well, in that case, it changed. I mean, like, I still didn't do anything for me, but I don't feel as strongly as I do anymore now.
Well, this goes right into the best performance by a side character. Know-it-all. That was it for me. You have a great option, though, that I overlooked. The hobo is probably too into it, as you know. But if I had to do a pecking order, it's the knowing-all and the know-it-all and then the hobo.
Yeah, hobo was a good one. I tend to agree with you that he would be in this conversation. But for me, it was the train engineers.
Yes.
Those guys were very goofy. They were perfect for, like, they were one of my, they may be my second favorite thing about this movie. They're probably my second favorite thing, like, thing about the whole movie. And they're just like that whole train scene that, again, was well done. They kind of go in perfectly with the fluidity of the chaos that's ensuing throughout all of it. So they were great, the train engineers.
Yeah, and they also speak Caribou too, which helped when the whole train tracks were blocked up.
Great call. That's a great point. Overlook that.
Yeah, and one last note about that whole train scene. They did a great job of building the suspense or the anxiety of it. I was very attached to what was going to happen with the ticket one, if that was going to, what, you know, if that was all going to get wrapped up. But also just sending the messages from the very front of the train back to the conductor's station there. You know, it's like, all right, what's going to happen? There's a light at the end here. What's going to happen at the end of this train track? So I was very invested into that. So
for a movie that I feel like is like super kidsy, like there are some kids movies that like Mario, like that's like a kids movie, but it's not like it's, there's a level of it where it's for adults. This to me feels less so. I agree with you for a movie of like in that category. I think they did a pretty good job building suspense there.
Absolutely. Who lost the movie, Nick?
I mean, the animators.
Mm-hmm.
There's no, I don't think there's any question. And then I think, look, I mean, you could say Hanks, but at the same time, when you look at the budget, like in the how much they made, it's they made over 1.5, so it seems like it's a modest, you know, win. But at the same time, it's like,
No, they were probably expecting this to be like $1 billion or whatever the equivalent was for 2004 to that, you know, like a huge blockbuster success.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm with you. The animators for sure. I think Hanks takes a hit. I also think the tandem of Hanks and Zemeckis, right? Because this is the third installment of that. So you get Forrest Gump, all-time movie, Cast Away, Academy Award winner, I believe, at least nominated, if not winner as well. And then this is the third go around. And you know what they say, you know, it's easy to beat a team once, twice, but three times, you know, that third time around, they'll get you, you know.
Especially when someone's calling offensive offsides.
Yeah, well, that's true. That's true. That's a topical one there, huh?
Oh, wow.
How do you not check with the ref?
That's actually a very good point. That was fraud. That's all, that whole
There's video of it now, right before we got on here, of him going up to the line. We're talking about Kadarius Toney of the Kansas City Chiefs. Obviously, this has a lot to do with the Polar Express, but nevertheless, there's sideline footage of him breaking the huddle, going up to the line of scrimmage, and immediately looking over to the referee, kind of giving him a thumbs up, looking for the confirmation. But he puts his head down immediately after that and then gets set. So typically what you should do is you get set and then you look over to the referee, hey, I'm good, and then you look back for it and wait for the ball to be hiked, you know. So he never gets the confirmation if he's good or not, or if like the ref tells him to back up. His head is back down at the ball waiting for it to be snapped at that point. So there is a clear miscommunication there, but ticky-tack call. But that's an egregious offsides.
Wild.
He was very much offsides.
This is a wild, wild story.
Oh, but I also do love Mahomes, you know, being a little crybear baby about everything too. All these people want to compare him to Brady, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Get out of here, man. Come on. I always won too. I mean, he's done very well for himself. But again, at the end of it all, he can win even one more than Brady. It'd be fine. You lost to Brady when you faced him in the Super Bowl.
That's true.
But he was gone. I mean, like, I know he was still a beast, but I mean, he's well past his prime when you faced him.
That's good. And now we'll see if he can win on the road. So, you know, that's on the road in the playoffs, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it was Jay-Z who said, "You can pay for school, but you can't buy class."
Ooh.
You know, and that's the difference when we're talking about Patrick Mahomes and Tom Brady. Tom Brady just has the class.
That's a good line.
He's never going up to Josh Allen and say, "This is a bullshit fucking game," or whatever.
That may be the craziest thing for me and all. Is I'm sure I'm not alone. Like, I'm sorry.
What did Josh Allen do?
Yeah, you can be best.
What the fuck, man?
You can be best buds with Josh Allen. I'm sorry. I'm not complaining to the guy who's on the opposite side of me. Like when he's got. Like, especially when it's about one call. If it's like, oh, that game was called terribly, okay, maybe. But it's one call and you're going to lose and you're going to complain to the guy you just lost to, who's like the opposite of you on the other side. It's just such an odd choice to do it right away. It's just gross.
And then him being like, this may have cost Kelsey's Hall of Fame career or like whatever he said to that effect. It's like, all right, you're laying it on pretty thick.
I understand being upset, and I even understand like voicing frustration about refs. Like we've seen it in, sure. In the NBA, it happens more than anybody, anywhere else, I should say. And yeah, Brady used to work over refs too. Like he would chirp them big time.
Absolutely.
Like, but this is different.
No. It's doing it's within the confines of the game. Right. So like he's doing it to their face at the moment, not with a bunch of mics in their face after.
Yes.
After true. The fact, you know?
Yes. And then in the NBA, it's like just, it's a practice that's been around forever. So like, it's just kind of move on. It's just whatever. It's part of the game.
Yeah, exactly. No, I it's completely bullshit, but I do agree that the refs insert themselves way too much into it. But nevertheless, completely off the rails. Let's get back on track for this train movie here. Who lost the movie? Patrick Mahomes.
That. Yep.
Motion capture animation.
Toss
Tom
up.
Hanks. The Hanks Zemeckis combo. Anyone else? Do we miss anyone else? No.
Nope. I'm good.
Kadarius Tony. Also.
Hey, oh no, Travis Kelce in his Hall of Fame career.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yep. But I do respect the, like, that was a nice lateral. I would like to see more lateraling in football.
Oh, okay.
Get a little rugby in there, you know?
Why not? Yeah, sure. Let's do it. Mix it up. Let's get nuts.
Yeah. Who won the movie, Nick? Who won the movie?
So you have two options, and I think one of them is a very, very good call. But for me, I'm going to go with The Lonely Kid. Obviously, from a story standpoint, he's gone through so much. But for me, I just like that was the kid who I got attached to in this movie. And not because him and I necessarily have similar life experience. Far from it. I felt so bad for this kid. And he felt, I don't know why, but he felt so real to me. More than anybody in this movie.
Doesn't really say a whole lot. No. And he's from the ghetto, you know, because the know-it-all kid's like, oh, we're on the other side of the tracks now. We're almost on our way.
That's right. And
so you know what that means when someone lives on the other side of the tracks, right?
That's actually a good call. Yeah.
House looks a little dilapidated. It's kind of like in a rural part of town on the outskirts there. Mm-hmm. He said, and he just says over and over again, right? Christmas never really just works out for me.
Yeah.
And it's just like, the worst part.
Right after where we saw the hero kid, he goes and like decides I'm not going to get on the train. Then last minute he's able to get on. This kid just waited a little bit too long and he missed it. Like if it wasn't for the hero boy, he would have completely missed it. It's like, I'm talking about now, I'm getting like, I'm kind of stunned about how I feel, like how I'm attached to the kid. Like I'm getting like chills, like talking about how I feel so bad for this kid. I don't know.
Is this some repressed memories that are coming out now?
It would be absolutely absurd if I tried to say that I had a similar upbringing or experience as this kid.
And he does win because not only does he get Santa come to his house, right? Mm-hmm. First things first, he's the first one dropped off on the train. And he got his presents right away. But he also has friends, and that's the thing that he kind of learns, and what the conductor kind of punches on his ticket there. So his thing comes full circle, and that's probably the most rewarding one, right?
Yeah.
The hero girl becomes a leader because she learns to trust in herself. That comes up a couple times when hero boy's like, are you sure? You know, she's not sure if it's the brake or whatever the lever is to stop the train. And then she's like, no, I am sure. Follow me. This is the way to do it. So she's got her leader thing. And then the hero boy just believes in Santa again. But the most satisfying one is the lonely boy. His story comes full circle there. So I agree with you. But also the book, you know, maybe we talk so often, like, I'm sure there are plenty of Harry Potter fans, dare I say maybe even more, who never read the books, but only watched the movies.
I'd say that's...
And I don't think that would happen for this.
You don't think that would happen for this?
No. I think more people would love the book than just watch the movie.
Sorry, yeah. Okay, that's probably right. Yeah, the Harry Potter one's an interesting one. I think that would probably be the... I feel like that is about to is Lord of the Rings. Like Lord of the Rings people, I'm sure there are plenty of people who love Lord of the Rings books, but it's like Harry Potter is a much easier read than Lord of the Rings. Like I love Lord
for sure, for sure. But they're both dense. They're long reads.
Yes, but like Tolkien wrote it, you know, so long ago and talked.
Yeah. And it's for different audiences, right? That's more of like a younger adult or adult audience, and then Harry Potter's obviously, you know, more of a kid's book there. Yeah. So I agree with you completely. I would say the Lord of the Rings is probably in that same realm.
Yep, because they have to bring them up when you bring up Harry Potter, as everybody knows on this show.
Sure. Well, they go hand in hand. They're forever tied to one another. If you know, it's magic and Bird there, you know, whether you, for better or for worse.
Absolutely. But I agree with you on the book. I think this is like I hope that this led to more purchases of the book. Like one would think that usually tends to happen. And then the other thing is like the, you know, this book's getting options. So the writer, I don't know who it actually is, probably got a lot of money out of this, which is great.
I would hope so. Yeah.
But in the end, where it wins is like this, the book, like, people probably like the book more than they like the movie. Like you said, like yourself.
Yeah. And it's a quicker read, you know, it's quicker than the book or than the movie, you know, so that kind of has that advantage going for it. But I'm sure also the book or the movie inspired a reprint of the book too. Not even just like more sales to go up, but you know, they do that like inspired from the movie, and maybe the animation looks similar to what the movie looked like instead of whatever the illustrations were in the book.
I feel like I saw that back in the day for sure. For sure. I feel like that happened.
I feel like they did the same thing for like the Michael Crichton Jurassic Park movies, right? So I remember the Jurassic Park book was all black and white. It was all black book cover with a white T-Rex silhouette dinosaur bone skeleton. That's
the logo we know skeleton. Now for Jurassic Park?
No, it wasn't. It was something. It was just all black with a white skeleton side profile without like the red letter in Jurassic Park.
I meant, was it the same profile though? It was like,
Oh yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was a T-Rex, right. It was the same T-Rex profile, but like everything around it, you know, there's like the circle around it. Then you got the letters that kind of look like a ribbon banner at the bottom for the title. All of that just ended up getting reworked on a book title. Because that's all anyone sees. So on the flap of the book, you're like, oh, this is Jurassic Park now. Okay.
Yep. 100%. So that sort of thing. Yeah. I mean, the Lord of the Rings books that I actually owned because I was a kid when the movies came out all had like the characters like from the like the actors. Frodo, Saruman, and Aragorn. Harry Potter though, I didn't have that. I don't know if they did that with Harry Potter.
I don't think so either. Again, but those were so popular and they're so close together too. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah, I think you're right. Although I wonder if in paperback, if they did that, I wouldn't be surprised. But if your parents were worth anything, they got you the hardcover books with the flap book flap on it.
I just remember my hardcovers. My parents are always like, "You want to try and take care of take care of your shit in general." But like, they were like, "Don't take care of the sleeve or whatever you call it on that goes on the hardcovers." And I would not carry my book around. Like if I brought it to school and stuff, I would not have the sleeve on it. I go to try and protect that.
Oh, you would leave it at home. Maybe put it in a Ziploc bag.
Yep. Or sometimes my parents would even have me they put it like, we would paper bag like hardcover books sometimes to try and keep them in good condition. Like you would
like we do it for like elementary school.
Yeah, exactly. So we do Harry Potter books sometimes too. Yeah.
Very resourceful, the Friars. I like that.
It's apparently. I forget all this shit, but
I think the Friars are a winner here too. Let's throw them in there for the paperback books.
Okay. I don't know about that.
I think that just about does it though, Nick. Any final thoughts before we give our CMM aggregate scores?
This is a movie that I wouldn't be opposed to watching again at Christmas time, but that I'm not going to go and push for it.
Yeah. If you've got kids, I think this is a good movie to show your kids. You know, and to see and let them kind of set the barometer for whether this is a rewatch or not. But if you don't have kids, I don't think you need to put this in here. That's just me. Mm-hmm. Nick gave it a 70. I gave it a 78. That's Polar Express. Available to watch on Max for those of you streaming at home there. That's a CMM aggregate score of 74 for those at home. So, you know, I feel like, you know, that's not bad grade. If I brought home a 74, depending on the subject, yeah, that might be acceptable. Math, science, that sort of thing. But it's not, you know, it's not great either.
Yeah, you can make up for it elsewhere. And they did with Castaway and with Forrest Gump. So there you go.
They certainly did. Absolutely. There we go. Great save there. So that is the Polar Express. Where are we
here? Holiday season. So hoop-dee-doo and dickory dock. Don't forget to hang up your sock.
Yes, we are getting off one train and hopping on another because the Discharge Depot is ready to leave the station, ladies and gentlemen.
Choo-choo, bitches.
Tickets, please. Tickets. Nick, what'd you do this weekend?
Busy weekend for me. So we did our like Fryer family Christmas celebration. Oh. And
is this a new tradition?
We do it whenever we don't get together for like Christmas Day. Mm-hmm. We try and do it outside, like we try and doing it before. So yeah, since you know Lauren and I, you know, met, mm-hmm. and then you know my brother and Kylie, his wife, always come up. So we try and do this like, so next year ideally we'll be with my parents on Christmas Day. This year my brother and I are both going to the in-laws, so
gotcha.
Yeah, so we, you know, trying to split it up, you know, in a certain way.
It gets tough as the families get bigger, you know.
Yeah, and we're all kind of spread out, right. That's a lot too, but yeah, it was we had a good time. We had a great time, actually, I should say. And there was also another extended family Christmas party over the weekend, so we went to that as well. So a whole lot of partying over the weekend. Definitely came into started the work week a little slow. And then also, I know it's Christmas time, but our first Christmas movie that we watched was David Harbour's Violent Night on Prime. So
is that good?
I have fun. I mean, like, it's what you expect it to be. It's not like a masterpiece, but it's like, it's a fun time. We've watched it the 2 years that it's been out. So it may be in the rotation of not for, if you can't handle a hefty amount of violence, though, there are some pretty, pretty tough moments in it. But we also snuck in a non-Christmas movie too, that someone had recommended to me recently, cause I'm a Cillian Murphy fan, Sunshine. Mm-hmm. Which came out in 2007. I'd never seen it. The cast in this, Wes, is insane. You have Cillian Murphy, Chris Evans, Rose Byrne, Michelle Yeoh, and Benedict Wong.
That's interesting.
Yeah, and there's another guy in the mix that I've seen before, but I couldn't remember where he's what I've seen him from. But it's like there's only like two other actors in this mix, right? And maybe one other actor. No, the two actresses. But I enjoyed this. I thought it was good for the most part, but as things got to the end, it kind of, you know, talk about like visual mistakes with the Polar Express. I felt like there was some visual stuff that they didn't get right at the end, and that took me out of it a bit. And there were some other writing, like moments where the writing was a little bit off too.
So this has to be like everyone's first movie just about there.
Yeah. I mean, it's not too far off. I think that,
Another the team movie or Fantastic Four, right? With Chris Evans, that might've been earlier.
Yeah, I don't know about Rose Byrne. I don't know about Michelle Yeoh. And I mean, I barely recognize Benedict Wong because he has like flow in this one.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. And Killian Murphy. Love it. I think Killian Murphy, when did Batman Begins come out? Was that
2006?
See that? This was like in that same time for him. He got really busy really fast. I don't know what Sunshine has for Rotten Tomatoes score. I'm trying to pull that up real quick.
Yeah, I like this. I like when you can go back and be like, oh my God, look at this cast.
Yeah, 76 from the critics and 73 from audience. That feels about right. That like right in that range. I mean, they're both lined up there. Again, it's like it has promise as it's going along. It's interesting. But again, like some of the writing, there's just some odd. If you're really locked in, you'll kind of, it's just some, what they did with some of the characters was strange. The acting all around though was very good. But yeah, some odd choices. But what about you, Wes? What you been up to?
I played golf on Sunday, actually. It was like high 50s, low 60s yesterday before we got a whole bunch of wind and rain coming in. So I played 9 holes with my dad.
Nice.
That was fun. And it's crazy. Like you mentioned kind of like having all these different Christmas events and talked about kind of going to all these weddings. What was it, in October, every weekend just about or whenever it was. Sunday was a crazy day. So we had, you know, we go to church on Sunday and we go immediately to my dad's where I drop the baby off to stay with my stepmom while my dad and I go out golfing. Jules has a Christmas party with her friends in that same time. We come back. I go to a Cape League Christmas party thing.
Oh, nice.
For a couple hours. And then it's her grandfather's 96th birthday, all on Sunday. And I'm like, thinking about this day, but all like how busy it is, how we're all kind of running around, all the different moving parts. And I'm like, kind of dreading it.
Yeah.
But then the reality sank in. It's like, this is going to be my life. Like, this is, you're a taxi kind of going from one thing to the next, whether it's whatever, Girl Scouts, Boy Scouts, practices, sleepovers, whatever, right? All this different stuff that just happened. So it's like, man, you gotta just change your whole mentality with it. You can't be like, I can't wait to get through the day. You're like, no, I'm going to enjoy everything because like, this is the only way that you can get through it.
That's good. That's awesome that you have that mentality.
Yeah, I'm happy it's coming now and not like, you know, later on down the road and just struggle through it.
This is very true. And I'm glad you're saying it to me now, because now I have time to start preparing. Cause
I mean, it is crazy. Cause then it's like, you know, you get pissed, you're like, oh, I just want to get home and do my own thing or whatever, you know? And it's like, no, like that's not the way through it.
Yeah, that's right.
Everything was great. It all worked out well. But with that came a little bit of levity. Like, all right, you gotta just change the whole way that you approach this mm-hmm. thing called life. Other than the existential crisis, it was great.
Yeah, of course. That's awesome.
Yeah. No, so it was a busy week, and it's just going to get busier. Yeah, this whole month is crazy. So
yeah, man. Yeah,
it's all fun stuff. Keeps you on your toes.
Yeah, I'm just remembering too. You got some more shit coming next week. You're going to be busy too.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like I said, it never stops. But neither do we. Actually, we don't stop. In fact, we can't stop, won't stop, because we're going to be recording an episode in advance on Friday that will come out to the audience. We'll do a premiere, so it comes out same bad time, same bad place. But Nick, that will be on what is it, our year in review?
That is our, is it our year in review? Oh yeah, yeah, it's gonna be our year in review. You're absolutely right. Yep, because right, yep, yeah. Then the Christmas. Yep, yep. Okay, yeah. So the final CMM episode of the year, because we'll do a review.
Right. Yeah. So that'll be a big one there. So let's set up some parameters while we have the people around us here. Ooh, so okay. How many do we want? So we'll look at all the, definitely all the Marvel TV shows and movies.
Mm-hmm.
But do we just want to do the other movies and not TV as well?
Well, I think what we've kind of
we saw a lot of movies this year.
We did. What we've kind of, we did in the past with Marvel, because we originally it was just MCU like retcons, I think is what we did.
Right. Yeah.
Which we could still call it that, but we set like limits on how much we can, like how many points we can like take or give or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we should set a point limit, and then allow like however many movies you want to do within the point range. Like we could do 10
okay
points,
so let's say like, yeah, okay, so say if we have like 15 movies, we have 50 points to move up or down or play or distribute to however.
Yep. Gotcha. Yes. Yep, exactly. And you can every point counts in the sense of like, if you take like, let's say it's obviously Moon Knight let's say it's Moon Knight, right? Like that's you if you wanted to take off 2 points from when you watched Moon Knight, which was last year, but anyways, that counts towards your total. Like
right,
it's not you regain extra points because you pulled somewhere else. Can't
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I got you on that for sure. Yeah, all right, perfect. So yeah, we'll get that settled and we'll have that out to you at the same bad time, same bad place, as I said. And well, maybe we'll have some New Year's resolutions in there too.
Ooh.
Ooh. Ugh.